everybody. Welcome to the Stock Car Spectacle. I'm Ian Jortson.
I'm Mike Gamble.
I'm Nick Kinzel.
And we have a lot to talk about this week, but first, let's go into our diecast of the week. Nick, what you got?
All right, so with some rumors coming out about a tentative schedule that we'll talk about later, we could be racing at the Darlington Raceway when we get back to racing. So I pulled out a 2016 Trevor Bain Advocare throwback scheme to Mark Martin scheme.
Nice.
This one, it's a really cool scheme, really cool throwback, but not a good race for him. Blew an engine. Good times. He was running pretty good, too.
That's the only thing that kept me from buying that diecast. It's like, it's such a cool car, but then it's like I have the Bubba Aftershocks car from Daytona I pre-ordered before. And it's like, oh, well, he ran like 37th and blew up early in that one with the Tyler Reddick instance. I was like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
It's just so with this, this is the only Bane throwback car that they really made. Like, so
yeah.
I want to collect them all one day. I was like, I got to have it, you know.
Right. Yeah, I got 164 of that one too.
Oh yeah,
we have
the 124 that once it goes like on like sale, I'll end up snagging it. But
we have like 5/164th version of these cars down in the studio. We had like
Yeah, we got a whole team of them down there.
Yep. All right, what you got, Mike?
All right, so we are filming today on April 29th, which happens to be the birthday of the legend himself, Mr. Dale Earnhardt Sr. So with that being said, I'm going to go with the silver GM Goodrich number 3.
Nice.
I actually had my boss gave me this car. What was it, last year or the year before Austin Dillon ran the tribute to that car?
I think it was
2018. Yeah. But my boss happened to be at my location for work that day, like my big boss, and him and I were talking about, he's a big racing fan, and he's the one, I think I've told you guys before, has got a diecast room with about, I don't know, 5,000 different cars on it.
Yeah.
And he's got more that aren't even display. He's like, oh yeah, you like that diecast? He goes, yeah, I'll bring you the diecast next time I'm there. I thought he was kidding. He showed up the next time with the diecast. So,
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Pretty cool piece for the collection. It's the only Dale Sr. car I have, and honestly, besides his, you know, traditional black car, probably the one I'd want the most. So it worked out really well.
Right. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
All right.
So what about you, boss man?
Well, I'm going with your theme as well, since it's Dale Earnhardt's birthday. I brought out the number 3 Wrangler Goodrich car, probably one of my favorite paint schemes that Dale has ever ran, the yellow and blue. One of my absolute favorites, and even looks badass when Dale Jr. won the Daytona race in the Nationwide race. That was awesome. So definitely one of my favorite paint schemes, just so old school looking. And my dad's probably had this diecast for probably over 20 years now.
I can see it.
Oh, yeah.
You know they're old. Always had this in his office.
Yeah.
You can tell they're both old because they got the red on the interior, too. Like, I feel like that's one of the older diecasts only have that.
Oh yeah, no doubt. But this is like, you know, this is a heavy diecast. This is very highly detailed.
That's awesome. That's a great car.
Oh yeah,
that's great one for the collection, no doubt about it.
Yeah. So before we dig into the show, we just want to talk about, we were on Kodo's Mojo earlier this week. It's my good friend Patrick. He runs a sports podcast. We talked about the NFL draft. You know, possible racing going back later this season. And many other sports topics. So, guys, make sure to go check out Patrick Kodo's podcast, yeah. Kodo's Mojo.
For not knowing the NFL that much, I tried to hold my own the best that I could. My camp over here was he kept it going. He kept the conversation going. I was completely lost. I like college football, but when it comes to the NFL and the NFL draft, not my strong suit. But kudos to Mike for keeping it good.
Yeah, right.
Hey, man, sports and analysis, I'm in my element there, so got to go. It was fun talking with Patrick. It was fun hearing his thoughts. You know, Ian, you'd been telling us for a little while about what that guy's like when it comes to rattling off stats and figures and everything, and it was kind of cool. Yeah, it was cool to kind of get to go with him back and forth a little bit. So
I'm just like, who the hell are these guys? And then he's just rambling them off. That was fun, though.
Everyone else listening to us talk about NASCAR.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He could tell you what the weather was like. Giants versus Eagles, 1987, dude. He could tell you anything, dude. It's insane. Yeah.
That's a bit much even for me, but good for him, man. No, he does a good job with his show. It was a lot of fun to be on. So yeah, thanks again, Patrick, for having us on. That was great.
Oh yeah. And we were also on our friend's podcast For the Lead. We were on there last week discussing some racing topics. It was a lot of fun with those boys. Make sure you follow them on Twitter, Instagram, follow them on our YouTube channel, and listen to them on Spotify and Anchor and many other podcast platforms. So now let's dig into it. The first breaking news that we got a few days ago is that Ryan Newman has been medically cleared to go back to racing. Boys, that's fantastic news, especially to see what he had to go through during that crash.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was just crazy. We're all sitting there after the Daytona 500. We all stayed after like an extra 2 hours. We were just all, we were preparing for the worst. And then it was just like a miracle that he walked out of the hospital like 2 days later. And now here we are. And Ryan Newman's in a good position now coming back into the number six car because he got the waiver to go race for the championship. And really, he only missed 3 races, so he's not that far. He's still 29 in points. All it's going to take for him to go to victory lane.
I mean, he got really lucky with this quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of to touch on what you said, Nick, I remember speaking of our good friends at For the Lead, I was texting Connor Bunn right after that happened because him and Timothy happened to have been at the race. And the way he described the scene and photos he was sending me, man, it looked bad, guys. I didn't think there was any way he was walking away from that. Here we are. He's racing a couple weeks later. Obviously, you know, in this respect, the quarantine kind of helped him get back before he missed too many races. Something to allude to that we'll talk about a little later. NASCAR was nice enough to grant them a waiver. He will be playoff eligible. So that's good to see. And I really do expect we'll see him in the playoffs. I don't think it'll be any big issue for him to potentially win a race this year. He came close a bunch last year. He's proven obviously to be one of the better plate racers in NASCAR again. So yeah, really good to see Ryan Newman in the sport, man. This is awesome to see.
It really is.
Yeah, it was scary because they had like the black screens up and everything. We all know what that usually means, but then we found out later why they did that. So NASCAR kind of gave us all mini heart attacks there for why they did it. But
they just didn't want another Eric Almirola situation.
Yeah.
But awesome to see Newman back in the car. I expect him, like Mike said, make his way into the playoffs. He's really turning that program over at Roush around big time.
Oh, I'd say so.
Yeah.
And then we got some big news with the Chip Ganassi 42 ride. We thought it was going to be the Melon Man taking over, but coming out of retirement again, we got NASCAR champion Matt Kenseth coming back to take over the 42 for Chip Ganassi Racing. Guys, that's amazing news. Matt Kenseth is such an amazing racer, such a great guy. What do you guys have to say about that?
Well, honestly, I think it's really a perfect idea for Chip and CGR to bring him back. I understand where a lot of people are coming from wanting to have Ross in that equipment, and I think his time is going to come, especially now. But think about the scenario. So everything that happened with Kyle Larson, everything going on with the coronavirus, the media pressure is going to be up through the roof. We're going to have when we do get back to racing, we have a really condensed schedule where you're running short track short week after short week, a couple days in between. It's going to be grueling. And I know Ross isn't a rookie. I know he runs some cup races and things like that. But I'll use the phrase a rookie to good equipment, if you will. If you really want his first rookie to good equipment year to be a year like this, where you put a guy like Matt Kenseth in the car now, who's a consummate professional. He'll be able to answer all the questions from the media, navigate everything. And to be honest, when you put a guy like that in, the expectations I don't think are through the roof, because anything you get out of him is a plus. You know, you put Ross in that seat and he underachieves or something, well, the pressure's on then. So I think it's a really good chance for CGR to put Matt in the car now, let this year play out, and then hopefully we see Ross full-time in that seat the year after.
So we were talking about this a few weeks ago on our show, who was going to take the 42, and not a single one of us said Matt Kenseth. So just from the top row comes out of nowhere and takes this ride. We can officially call him like the super sub now. He filled, a couple years ago with the whole Trevor Bayne incident, came in there. Not too happy about that one, but that's just me. But yeah, this year – This is interesting. Yeah, this is Matt Kenseth in a Chevy, which is going to take some time getting adjusted to, but he's partnered up now with his old Roush teammate and Kurt Busch. Those two, I think, are just going to work really well together. They're two veteran champions, two extremely good race car drivers. So I don't think it would be too much of a surprise for me if Matt Kenseth were to go to victory lane this year in that 42 car. He's proven that he can do it. So, and NASCAR has given him also a championship waiver, which stirred up a lot of craziness on the NASCAR Twitter world, but that's just NASCAR Twitter for you. It's always crazy on there. But no, this move really shocked me, but like Mike said, I think this is going to really benefit that 42 ride. There's really no pressure for him at all, so I'm excited to see what Kenseth can do behind the 42.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how he runs in this car, because if memory serves correct, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, that last year where he was, you know, splitting time with Trevor, that was the old rules package. So he hasn't run this new package that they started 2 years ago. So, you know, as good a driver as Matt Kenseth is, and I'm not saying I think he's going to struggle. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he drives and adapts, especially with the season having already started.
And especially we're going to go to it. If this tentative schedule that we'll talk about in a little bit is true, going to some tricky racetracks to start it off. And yeah, it's going to be those first few races for him back are going to be interesting, but he's going to get a lot of them in a short amount of time. So he'll quickly adapt.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he will. I mean, he's been racing in the Cup Series since 2001. He's had to deal with so many changes over his career. So I'm sure he'll adapt real quickly.
And then we got to see a Matt Kenseth tweet on Twitter. We see that maybe twice a year, so
he's yeah, back. Right.
Yeah, we see an eclipse more often than we see a Matt Kenseth tweet.
and also saying Chip Ganassi also contacted Carl Edwards, and Carl said, you know, give me a day or two. He responded, and he replied, nope. So they went after Matt Kenseth, and he accepted, and now they got a great partner over at Chip Ganassi Racing.
Just a big what if for me. Like, what if Carl Edwards did win that championship in 2016? Where would he be today?
He'd probably still be in that 19.
It's just crazy that he walked away. I'm assuming it's because of that, but yeah, I really didn't see Carl Edwards jumping back in. He doesn't want it. From what I've seen, Carl Edwards doesn't want to jump back in the race car.
Which sucks. He would have already fun to watch him race.
He would have already been back if he really wanted to come back, because it's just not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know, there were a lot of rumors floating around right after he retired from people that said they were close to him. I would see on social media saying that he was just quote-unquote tired of NASCAR's BS. Do with that what you will. I'm not even gonna try to interpret it, but I think we all can kind of figure out the avenue he's going down there. So even if he wins a championship, who knows? Who knows if that's enough to keep him around? I like Carl Edwards as a driver. If he comes back, cool. I'm not gonna lose any sleep if he doesn't either. It's just kind of how I felt about Carl Edwards. But you know what? It was kind of cool just to hear his name kind of thrown around with the sport again. One thing you can't deny with Carl Edwards, he did have a lot of star power. He was one of the guys that could, you know, kind of cross over into mainstream media. You'd see him show up in Subway commercials and at WWE events and stuff like that while he was still driving. So we could use a little bit of that in the sport, as always. So you can never have too much of that. But at the end of the day, like I said, I'm not going to lose sleep if we don't see him again.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds like he's pretty much made up his mind.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this new tentative schedule that NASCAR is possibly releasing. Matt Weaver released this earlier. So Sunday, May 17th, it looks like NASCAR might be coming back racing with no fans, obviously, in the stands. So Sunday, May 17th, that's going to be a Cup race at Darlington. And then Tuesday, May 19th, is going to be an Xfinity race at Darlington. And then we're going to stay at Darlington as well on Wednesday and have a Cup race there. And then Saturday, May 23rd, ARCA is going to be racing at Charlotte. Then on the next day, Cup is going to be racing at Charlotte. And then Monday, May 25th, Xfinity will be at Charlotte. Then Tuesday, the next day, the Trucks will be at Charlotte. And then Wednesday, May 25th, Cup will be at Charlotte. So it looks like we're just going to be in the North Carolina, South Carolina area right now for, you know, the states that are open. So at least we'll be getting racing. It sounds like it's going to be in a short amount of time, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it makes sense that we're going to stay in the Carolinas here, close to home, don't have to stay in a hotel or anything. Right. What I like from this is that the Xfinity and the trucks are listed down here. Yeah. I thought we were going to lose them when we were going to go back racing because where are we going to fit this in? But, boys, we are literally getting racing for, like, 10 straight days here, and it's almost 10 straight days here. It's going to be crazy to see how this really works out, but I'm just happy to see all four series are still getting their dates on back on the racetrack. Lots of time's going to be spent at Darlington and Charlotte, though. It's going to be interesting to adapt to, but I'm ready to go.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to see how running this many races in such a short amount of time is going to go because, again, I want to see racing just like you guys, but my critique of it, I guess if I had to have a criticism of the schedule, we don't know what's going to happen yet. There's a lot of question marks up with how things are going to go, what's going to happen if somebody does get sick. We could run down the list of all the different what-ifs, which we've actually done in the past on previous episodes. My only thing with if you have so many races in such a short amount of time, I feel like if somebody gets sick on that Sunday race, then they come to the track that Wednesday race, then you're infecting more people than you maybe needed to do. I would have liked to have seen, let's have a Sunday race, take a week off, have another Sunday race, have another Sunday race after that for like 2 or 3 weeks in a row. Then if you've got 3 weeks in a row where, hey, everything's gone good, then let's open the floodgates, let's run just like we're kind of talking about. I just feel like with this schedule the way it is, it's kind of leaving you a little susceptible to, you know, one thing happens. You don't have a lot of time to recover or make plans and so on and so forth.
So here's my word with it too is, you're going to have multiple teams there at these racetracks. If Cup and Xfinity are going to both run within days of each other at Darlington, look at how many people are going to be there. You're putting yourself at risk because one person gets sick, it all stops again. And then NASCAR, like we talked about, is just going to be like, oh, these stupid rednecks tried to get us going back again, and look at what they did. Everybody's sick again, and then it's just going to go into total – it's going to be a total crapshoot. So, yeah, I would have to agree with you there, Mike, that they're taking a risk doing this because especially when we get to that Charlotte weekend, we're going to have ARCA Cup, Xfinity, and trucks there. Look at how many people are going to be there. It's going to be really risky, and I'm curious to see how they're going to try and handle that.
Right, yeah, it's a risky game. But, yeah, I kind of like the idea of what you were saying, Mike. Let's kind of split it up a little bit. Let's, you know, wait a week after a race. And then if everything's clear, then let's go with the suggesting.
Yeah, because I just feel like you don't have any barometer for this right now. Like, you have no idea what's going to happen. So, like, if you had a couple weeks of this where you have an idea what's going to go on, you can make way better educated decisions on how many races you can safely run, how many, you know, whatever the scenario is. You're just going to get so much more data, so much more of an idea as to what the whole scenario and everything kind of comes together as. Because, I mean, if they go to that first Sunday and have huge problems, then what?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it all goes away again, and then I don't know. This kind of has to succeed because if something does go wrong, then who knows what happens.
Yeah.
A 2020 season. What happened? So, yeah, I'm interested to see what NASCAR is going to do for safety-wise for all these people that are going to be at this racetrack.
Yeah. So, side note, though, it is going to be awesome to see cars back on track. Oh, that's going to be incredible.
Oh, I'm excited.
And, of course, this is going to happen right as I'm getting back into work and everything. But I'm only working 3 days a week, and none of these are days that I'm going to be working. So, chance in hell I'm missing any of these races to come back on. Even if it is that ARCA race at Charlotte, I still want to watch it.
Yeah, why not? Oh, yeah. We've been deprived of you guys will get a kick out of this. We've been deprived of, you know, live sports and everything for so long. I found myself the other day, it went down one of those YouTube loopholes. You guys know I'm a huge baseball junkie. The league in the Chinese Taipei is playing. I was watching highlights of one of their games. That's how desperate we are from sports. I'm watching CPBL highlights.
Oh, Zach was telling me about that. You were watching the team that threw the Colonel Sanders statue into the water.
No, that's Japan. Yeah, that's the NPP. Okay. Long story short there, I think I'm going to buy the NPP video game. Bring it over here.
Yeah, they have a crazy story with Colonel Sanders. Once I heard that, I instantly jumped on board.
Yeah, I kind of fell in love really quick with watching and learning as much as I could about the Japanese baseball culture. Because it's like it's baseball with like a college basketball or college football or Premier League soccer kind of following and fan base. Like they chant and get rowdy and stuff in the game. It was cool as hell just to watch those videos. So,
oh, hell yeah. That's awesome.
Topic, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. That's awesome. So, from this past weekend during the Pro Invitational Talladega race, Fox Sports earned 1.24 million viewers for this past Sunday's race. That's up from 971,000 viewers last week at Richmond, and it's the second highest for any of the NASCAR iRacing events so far, which means it's the second most viewed esports event so far.
That's awesome. I think Jeff Gordon coming out of retirement, going to race that one, helped the viewership. And I just thought we saw a really good race. I mean, we saw Ricky Reckhouse do Ricky Reckhouse things and taking out the field early. But really after that, it was a really clean race. It was a good race. It was really funny watching Clint Bowyer and Jeff Gordon going at it. They were just talking to each other all the time. That really brought some comedic relief right there. But yeah, overall, I have to say this ranks near the top of the Pro Invitational Series races. I was really impressed.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I thought the race from top to bottom was really fun to watch. Was really, you know, the drivers I thought did a great job. It was entertaining all the way through. You know, with it being a restrictor plate race, my first thought was it was going to be like a Bristol with cars running so close to each other. God knows what's going to happen. But that didn't happen. We saw good racing. We saw something that looked like a real-life restrictor plate race. So going back to Richmond, it looked just like the Richmond race. Like you could watch parts of that race and be like, that looks like a real-life Richmond race. Yeah, the same thing here. This looked like a real-life Talladega race. I mean, we had a bunch of cars slipping through the air at one point that maybe that part's not so quite realistic, but the rest of the racing stuff was awesome. So, yeah.
He's always complaining in those races. He's always either getting flipped upside down.
Hey, well, I'm ready to get back to real racing because, man, he is terrible at the iRacing stuff.
It really wasn't realistic, though, because it's so realistic that Stenhouse took out the whole field. I mean, at a restricted plate, you'd think nothing less. If you could turn on the TV and be like, oh, is this the real Talladega race going on right now?
Yeah, right.
I called it, too. Like, he was just starting to make Gordon was just starting to make his way to the front. I think he was running, like, six or something. I turned to Ash. I was like, watch, his day's about to end right here because here comes Ricky. Then Ricky comes up, and within the lap is when he spun everybody.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but that was a lot of fun to watch. That was a really good race, and that was probably the best race I've watched since Homestead.
The Homestead one was a good one, but it's funny though because it seems like Denny Hamlin and Corey LaJoie just have this beef. And if we want to talk about Denny Hamlin, I wonder how his daughter's doing right now. I forgot about that after turning off his freaking monitor. Oh my god! I mean,
he's
it's not like
four laps down, so he's fine.
It's not like Denny was running towards the front, but oh man, he was pissed off. My thoughts go out to his young kid right there. But, it seems like him and Corey LaJoie just have this beef going on Twitter about iRacing and everything. Like, I can't tell. I want to say it was just Denny being a sarcastic kind of a-hole, but because that's usually how it goes for him. But they were, like, talking about Corey LaJoie's like, I'm going to give up my rig. No, he finished second. Corey LaJoie finished second. And then, like, he quoted a Denny Hamlin tweet that said, you always tell us about how terrible your cars are, join iRacing or something like that. And then Corey LaJoie quoted that with the eye emojis, like, oh, look, check this out. And then Denny Hamlin was just like, oh, yeah, congratulations on your second place run at Talladega. How about running a track where you have to use some brakes? And it was just a back and forth. Ugh.
Well, it makes you wonder if they're kind of just poking at each other or it's all serious.
What I can tell you as somebody who listens to Corey LaJoie's podcast every week, he's not big into the iRacing. You know, he's got a newborn. He's even said, he goes, you know, I'm probably going to run this one race and sell my rig. Like, he's legitimately talked about that before this race even happened. So that was before he got the pole, before he finished second, anything like that. So I know he's not big on the whole iRacing thing. Quite frankly, you guys know how I feel about Denny Hamlin. He's very far from the top of my favorite driver list, so I'm not going to go too much further than that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's Denny just being Denny, and Corey being like, yeah, whatever, dude.
Right, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So I just think it's another one of those things with everybody being locked up in the houses all day, tempers get a flaring more with stupid stuff than they really should. So I think it'll be a non-issue in 2 weeks, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but you boys got anything else to add? Because I think that'll about do it for our show.
Pray for me. I'm entering the jungle tomorrow. I'm going back to work tomorrow. It's time.
What time do you start?
I start at 9 in the morning. That throw me right back into it on these 9
Ladies
to 5.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick has to get up at a respectable time tomorrow like a functioning, profitable member of society. Like he's going to contribute to the world again. God have mercy on you tomorrow. We'll make sure the Monster Fairy puts a six pack outside your door because you're gonna need them all tomorrow.
The first thing I do when I walk in there, I'm grabbing a nice cold Monster and I'm gonna get my day rolling. It's gonna be interesting because I was talking to a coworker and they told me that they're checking temperatures before you can even clock in, and then it's gonna be crazy.
Nick's gonna take a shower at like 150 degrees for like an hour. Just like, please hold my temperature up. Please send me home.
Yeah. Oh, I'd get in so much trouble. Yeah, that's about it.
Just glad to be a week closer to racing. So we start May 17th. What's that give us? Three more iRaces?
Yeah, two or three.
Yeah, that's.
So
I'd say about two.
So yeah, home stretch, boys. Let's hang in there and stay strong.
I'm excited, guys.
Oh yeah.
Thanks for watching the Stock Car Spectacle, everyone. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Follow our friends Kodo's Mojo and For the Lead Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Spotify and Anchor.fm. And thanks for watching, guys. See you next time.